You are enjoying Artha Kamas required for your life from the nature already, and for which you have to take it, for which you have to work. This is the only way. Doing karma is the only way you can earn punyam, you can tap Bhagavan's grace. And for which you need to do what? Along with the secure karma, do the sacred karma prescribed in the Vedas. What are the Vedas? Consisting of mantras. In those mantras, rituals are prescribed. And those mantras are revealed to the rishis. And so the karma kanda, the karma part of the Mundaka Upanishad begins. Then after that, it goes from there, one step. Having talked about, may you perform the rituals revealed in the mantras, revealed to the rishis. This only way having said, and he talks about the how one should perform an Agnihotram karma, which is not relevant for us, but still it is prescribed, so we studied how it is. So that itself implies what? How the performance of ritual involves some effort and strain and shraddha. You can't just do it carelessly. The way how it has been performed is said in the mantra reveals how it should be done carefully. No? You can't done it carelessly. It can't be done carelessly. You have to do it carefully. That is also said in the second mantra, isn't it? The third mantra tells if a ritual not performed as per the stipulations, then how it becomes what? Avidinahutam. Then it becomes what now? It not only it does not produce any punyam, it also in fact destroys your punyam. See, we are doing any karma for punyam. Phalam can be gained as a result of punyam. You earn punyam. Punyam can be turned into your phalam you want, desirable phalam. Isn't it? You do in karma to earn punyam. Punyam will be turned into what? Your desired, desirable fruit. Isn't it? That's why you are doing a karma. And here, this karma, improperly done, will not produce any punyam. If it doesn't produce punyam, it is okay. If it also destroys the punyam, you have already earned. Isn't it? That's what it says. And then, not only avidinahutam, ahutam also. That means there's no regularity, means there's no perfection, there's no shraddha. See, regularity implies shraddha in what you're doing. Those things. And also it talks about other rituals. Also, why it talks about, because we are always conscious of everything we are doing. No action is done unconsciously, mechanically. You are thankful to Bhagavan before harvest you do, means you are so conscious of causing pain to the plants. So you do that karma, that worshipping all the plants also, then you go for harvesting and all that. So this is, and then, okay, Amavasya comes, there's a change. Sort of in the nature, it's a thing that changes. Why eclipse also you worship? Here we don't talk about eclipse here. Amavasya comes, what happened now? Suddenly the whole jagat becomes the part where we are living. It becomes so dark. And then mind, moon is very much connected to the mind also. Manaso devata chandramaha. No? Chandrama manaso jataha. We are going to sing Purushottam also. Chandrama manaso jataha. No? Connected there. Again we say, what happens, suppose new moon, some change. And full moon, some change. In between, the days are calculated. So there's a prayer on Amavasya. Pitru karma is all done especially on Amavasya. And prayer on full moon days. No, praying to Bhagavan, thanking Bhagavan on full moon day, thank Bhagavan on new moon day, thanking Bhagavan before harvest, and thanking Bhagavan once in form of the Chaturmasa means every seasonal changes, okay? And there's different worships. It's it, we are grateful and grateful to Bhagavan, and the more we see Bhagavan, the more we feel grateful. The more, subtler you are mentally, the more you appreciate Bhagavan. The grasser you are mentally, the less you appreciate Bhagavan. isn't it? That's why this, you know, when deliberately doing these actions, helps one to become subtle and subtler and subtler. That is the idea. So many rituals are performed. But per person, Agnihotram karma, because it has been emphasized for those, see, because we are out of it, okay, we have nothing to do with Agnihotram. We don't know about Agnihotram. And why he talks about those days, like Agnihotram is like lighting the lamp every day nowadays in all the houses. And now there's a mechanical, it became very mechanical. If I don't light the lamp, people feel guilty. At least mechanically, people run to the thing, light the lamp, come down. They don't even sit for a second and pray or worship. Don't need to pray and worship. At least, are you doing it relaxed? I know many houses. People are in such a hurry. Better don't do that. No, because the, everything, idea of worship itself to be with yourself. And run, no, I don't want to, because they feel guilty. It becomes one more thing which they have to do in the morning. No? And hurry, they do, mind is not there and come away and then forget something. So like that, Agnihotram also became once upon a time. People were became, no, oh, I have to perform Agnihotram means, sometimes they don't do it, sometimes they don't follow the rules and regulations, and sometimes, oh, I'm doing Agnihotram enough, I don't need to do all those things. You are not doing it for your other sake, okay? Chaturmasyam, the puja is not for sake of pujas. Pujas are not dependent on you. Understand? But you are dependent on Bhagavan's punyam for grace. Therefore, you have to do it for your own good. Isn't it? You never eat medicine for doctor's sake, okay? You're eating medicine for your sake. It is like, oh, because I don't want doctor to feel bad, okay? I'm eating medicine. Not true. You're taking medicine for your health, not for the sake of doctor, okay? Similarly, here we have to do, this is rituals are done for myself. So then there's no Shraddha means, you just skip, people skip, okay, no Chaturmasam. Oh, I forgot Amavasya, so no Darsha. Oh, I forgot Purnima. Oh, full moon day, I forgot about it. I told him, mentally now, oh, I want to do, oh, I forgot it, I missed the full moon day. Then we miss, skip things. Then Shraddha, there's no Shraddha. See, the less you don't do things properly, you have less Shraddha. Understand? I'm not saying having less Shraddha is wrong, but having less Shraddha will not help you move from where you are. That is what is important. The tappe, nobody can be said to be wrong. People don't come to the class. Shraddha is not enough, not strong enough. Understand? Sometimes due to some reasons, the proper reason, okay, I could not come. Okay, that is a different thing. Shraddha is very much there, but some really genuine reason. Some small reason people don't want to come means, that's an excuse, not the actual reason, excuse. You know, and that means Shraddha is not there. Being not having Shraddha is not a crime, or not a papa karma, or not, because a person does not have Shraddha, he cannot be looked down upon. No, nothing. It only shows somewhere, no, the Shraddha is not strengthened enough. Isn't it? It shows that they have to understand things. So the Shraddha is very important. And the Shraddha in karma, so Shraddha is very, 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 very important thing. That is what is emphasized when the karma is discussed. Otherwise, Upanishad, why should we are not all interested in Agnihotram? We are not interested in performing ritual also. We are interested in moksha and jnanam. We are studying Upanishad, we wanted to know Vedanta. Hey, come on, you all want to know Vedanta. At least have an understanding of what Veda has to tell you. Because you don't need to know all the karmakanda part, but karma, whole karmakanda is based on certain vision. What is the vision here? What is that? No, we say two shastras, Jnana Shastram, Moksha Shastram, Nivritti Margaha, Karma Shastram, Pravritti Margaha. One is preparatory, no, one is for the prepared. Understand now? So culmination, one is preparation, one is culmination. This is what is we say. Only then the human life is a meaningful, successful, and really a purposeful life of fulfillment in discovering a fullness. Everything is accomplished. But for that, what is that you need? All that you need is pure and steady mind, nothing else. Not bank deposits. Bank deposits are needed to eat your food. okay, appease your hunger, to walk around and to, that's a different thing. But for moksha, what do you want is a pure and steady mind. Understand? And that is the purpose. Your eating is for that, your drinking is for that, you're running around, you're doing this, you're doing it, everything is ultimately for what? For that discovering. This is why we get stuck with the means. We have to be very clear about the end. Ultimately, what do you want is to be all is in the mind. All with the mind. Mind needs to be pure and steady. No, only then you are mentally adequately healthy. Impure and unsteady mind, indisciplined mind is not adequately healthy, is not healthy enough to become the healthiest. Understand? Not strong enough to become the strongest. Understand? Not pure enough to recognize the purity. Understand? This is very important. And for that mind to be, that is why, to make the mind healthy. So being unhealthy implies being indisciplined, being unsteady, being impure is very natural for the mind. That's why we don't find fault with the views. We don't say it's wrong to be impure, it's wrong to be unsteady, it's wrong to be indisciplined. That is how the mind is. The whole life is lived to make it disciplined. No, this jumping monkey has to be made sit one place quietly. Now, as long as you are jumping around, in fact, in Ayurveda Shastram, in Sanskrit language itself, we have a beautiful word for health. You know that swasthyam means health. Swastaha means one who is healthy. Who is healthy, who is unhealthy? Parastaha, okay? Parastaha means parasthaniyaha, one who is in somebody else's house is sick person. One who is in his own house, at home, okay, is the healthy person. How, you are not at all at home. You are always out. Out, out, out. You don't know what, you don't even know where your house is. You don't think of going back. Because you get stuck outside. That is why going back home, staying, it's all discipline. Understand? No, it's all discipline. Except sannyasi. Understand? That is why it's a discipline. That is why it's a home, it's a house, go back. And it's all discipline. You can't just live like a gypsy, no? That's all not proper. So here, swastaha and parastaha. Parasthaniyaha. The mind is parasthaniya mind all the time. It is swastham, swastham manaha. What is swastham manaha? The healthiest mind is swastham manaha means which has recognized its own existence. A jnani's mind is perfectly healthy. No way. So being at home means being with oneself. And that is the goal of life actually. It's a goal of life. It's not an ordinary thing, okay? It's a big end of life to be accomplished. To be known, isn't it? For which it has to be adequately disciplined to discover the absolute health. To be absolutely healthy, it has to be adequately healthy. For which, no, it has to be what? Really, it has to have grace. To be adequately healthy, it has to have grace. Avan arulal avan thal patri. Without Bhagavan's grace, there's no way of being healthy, pure and steady. And to have the grace to be mentally pure and thing, only way is live in tune with, live in harmony with Bhagavan in the form of law and order. Nigetiyodu isai pada vaazhudhal. Isaindhu vaazhudhal. Understand now? Living in harmony with the order is a beautiful word. In music you blend, you forget. Like that, here also, you become living in harmony with the order implies so much. I don't know whether I'm expressive enough to make you understand. Living in harmony with order is very, very important, no? This way in Tamil language, music is called Isai. Now where? You just blend, no? Remain no, blended with that. Being one with the order. No? That is called, no? Yeindhu vaazhudhal. Isaipada vaazhudhal. Understand now? Isaindhu vaazhudhal means living in harmony with law and order, which is Ishvara. For us, Ishvara is not any damn form. Okay? Every form is Ishvara here. And Bhagavan is law and order. That is the first recognition we need. That's why we say Bhagavan is the punisher. Nigraha karta, anugraha karta. Understand? One who blesses, one who punishes also. How? Bhagavan is not the, there is no punisher and blesser other than Bhagavan. But Bhagavan is not the one who punishes and blesses. Understand? Because law. Law and order. Who burns your finger when you put your fire in, put your finger in the fire? Who burns your finger? Nature of fire. Understand now? You can't call fire is a burner. Oh, fire has burnt my finger. If fire has not burnt your finger, burning had its actions as swarupam. Understand? That is how order is. That is why there is no way of becoming absolutely healthy without being adequately healthy. To be healthy mentally, I have to have grace of Bhagavan's grace. To tap Bhagavan's grace, I have to live in harmony with law and order Ishvara. That is what is said here. And to live in harmony with law and order Ishvara, I know, first thing is I have to be contributing for what I am enjoying. You cannot live your life without taking, inhaling oxygen, without paying a penny, we inhale oxygen. We are grabbing from nature. Understand now? We are enjoying everything. To live this life, all that we take is from the nature only. Everything is given. We are not creating anything. We know what is, and make use of what is available. I told you already this in the other class. Isn't it? We take. You are given. Everything is your. You are given everything. So you take everything from nature. You are living your life means you had to be returning something to the nature also. That way. So living implies, first of all, one has to be active. Because it's very natural for one to tend to be lazy and idle. That is why one has to be active. And being active implies alertness. Okay? One has to be physically active means it not mentally also alert. One others are not dull otherwise. It's very important for one to be alert. Alertness is important. Now, to be alert mentally, one has to do, that's why the perfection action is expected. Why you should do it with the Shraddha? How do you do it carefully? Prudently, attentively means that shows your alertness of the mind. How? There is only way you can sharpen your intellect. There is no way of sharpening intellect because, see, the mind needs no kushagra buddhihi, tikshna buddhihi. We need sharp intellect to discover because you are not going anywhere. It's all question of discovering it. It is still no avaranam. How are you going to remove the avaranam? It has to reveal to yourself means the mind has to be alert and sharp and for which the thick, what is this really make this mind thick, Scrap that. How to scrap it? Have grace. Understand now? That is why it is very important to be active first. Understand? And if you are active, you are in harmony with the order. If you are righteously active, you are perfectly in harmony with the order. If you are non-righteously active, you are not simply in harmony with the order, you are disruptive of the order. Then you have to face the consequences. The global warming is what? Expression of the order being highly disturbed. Any natural calamity now is actually disorder in the order, universal law and order. Doesn't matter, people who become victims of tsunami doesn't matter. Because I am not, some punyam escaped, okay? Otherwise, but there is disorder, we have to be conscious. There is no, why should I be bothered? Well, somebody there is somewhere. Somebody dying had a problem, you have to see, their paradag gets over, they die. a different thing. But you have to see how, because whole jagat, every human being society is responsible for disturbance in the global, any global change, any globally affecting thing, we have to see the order being disturbed. That is why people perform yagas and yajnas and worship different temples in India. Only thing they do is they go and worship and do perform rituals and pray and all that they do. Even they don't know anything, what to do. But what I want to say here, so being active is being in tune with order. That one thing is emphasized through the presentation of this performance of ritual. How one should have faith in it, how one should do it carefully, how one should do it attentively. Doing things carelessly is useless. It won't be productive, in vain strain. Sometimes when you do things improperly, unknowingly you contribute for the disorder. When you do things wrongly, without knowing correctly, when you do it without Shraddha, you contribute for the disorder. That is what Hasaptaman Lokan Hinasti. Understand? That is why not only you also lose Punya means what? We disturb the order. Improper action causes disturbance in the order, because improper action also action. Isn't it? Improper action also action. So it has to produce some phalam. What is the phalam? Yeah, we just studied, every action produces phalam. So improper action does not produce phalam means what? Not producing a phalam is one phalam. Non-production of phalam is a phalam. And not non-production of phalam, some phalam is produced. What is the phalam? It has contributive phalam. It is what? Destructive phalam. Understand now? Destructive phalam also, some phalam has to be there. What is phalam? Destructive phalam, constructive phalam, contributive phalam, damaging phalam. We have to see that. That is what, when you don't do it like this, it shows slowly to that. When you do anything improperly implies not being righteous, not being ethical, the cheating involved, values being not followed, all those things are implied as a secular karma. That's what I had to talk about. I didn't go into details. I just said properly done action means, what is a proper action? A righteous action is a proper action in the secular karma. And here, a carelessly done action means there's no Shraddha involved here. That is what they say. Generally, so karma has to be done. Karma has to be righteously done. So non-performance of actions or improper performance of actions will disturb the order, thereby will be disturbed by the order. Proper action, proper done actions helps you to be in harmony with the order, you'll be blessed by the order. Have grace. So that is the only way you can be physically healthy, mentally also healthy. Emotional, physical well-being is dependent on your living a harmonious life. Harmonious life implies being in harmony with order, which implies you're living a life of dharma and being thankful implies you're being alert. See, to recognize the contribution of devatas, you must be alert, sharp, You are not a numb person. Nothing is like buffalo sitting in a slush. We are very conscious and alert people. We are conscious. We do recognize, my God, how much we enjoy. Every bit of, that's why sadhus, when we go and eat in somebody's house, we enjoy every bit of water, drop of water, we drink also, we pray, oh my God, may this family be blessed with everything. We are supposed to do that. That is the only way I can avoid my papa karma. I genuinely pray. I can't really give anything in return. So I pray and then other karma I do and then come away. Isn't it? It is very important. So what I'm saying, even people generally, always, we always, they bless people, go to weddings also, go eat and bless the couple. Full bless nalla irukano. Now all be happy. May the children be happy. Now bless and go. Nalla vaartha, no? All this is karma. Now why I'm saying here, it is very important to tap grace to be healthy. To be absolutely healthy. And that is possible only if you are living in harmony with order. For which you have to do your duties, do something, you have to contribute in return to the nature. That is possible only when you contribute back in keeping with dharma, righteously. So clear now? This is the actual teaching. This is what is the actual teaching revealed through a karma kanda of the Veda. We are not studying all the karma kanda. When we had a few verses, I had to tell you the whole vision of what is actually, what the karma kanda has in it for you to learn, what you do not know. Karma kanda not only teaches the rituals. Hey, do this karma, do chant this mantra, do this way, offer this, and then invoke the Gita Devata, have this palam. No, not only that much. It tells you something subtle, very profound, very, very profound. Fact. Live in harmony with Bhagavan, Ishvara, the law and order. That is why when somebody asked who is Ragamaha, one Rishinasi said, Ramaha Vigrahavan Dharmaha. No, who is Rama? He's a personification of Dharma. If you give the universal law and order a form, that is Dharma. Rama. You know that? Because this is where we miss. People, all the people go for live the way you want to live. Go for meditation classes. Okay? All the indisciplined life. There's no morality, nothing. And just go straight to meditation classes. Utter meditation classes for jnana moksha. What is this? All this newly marketed. Newly marketed.
In Scotland, you know, this Ramdev.
Yeah, at least he's teaching yoga. I mean, at least now there's a sadhu from, I mean, at least there, Dharma is taught there. Even though there's no Vedanta, there's no jnanam or anything, at least definitely the person who's committed to teach certain disciplines, now, as I'm disciplined. Discipline is there. We know the limitations of that. But now the so-called, I don't know whether they teach Vedanta, meditation. They teach pranayama and yoga. How, it's, no, it also is a byproduct. Physical health is a byproduct, isn't it? At least the people we have to teach always, we have to say something to market it. To make a person know, we have to give a quote, any tablets. Sugar-coated tablet, pill. We talk about all this, you get them, that and this. And people will go for that. See, 99% of the crowd which will go, they're all body conscious, not how to trim and healthy. I can live for 100 years healthy without going to doctors. Means they want to go. That's okay, fine. At least now. At least somewhere, anyway, somewhere is the entry is there. But still, anyway, you have to know the limitation also. That is not the end of everything. That's what I'm saying. People have to realize it's very, very important for one to know. It cannot be attained. If it is not there with you, you cannot attain it. You have to know that. You have to know. It has to be known. One has to know that one has to know. No choice of doing something. Okay. This is over? This class, have understood now? I made it clear now? Not still clear? Still not able to connect the verse with the thing. Verse does not tell you anything much. See, all these things we must have studied. Now, because we have skipped lots of textbooks, come straight away, jump to Upanishads.
So, one question is, Agnihotra is all right in those days, you know, when, Grihastha has to do work in his duty, he may have to go outside his village or even the country.
That is why this.
Suppose he is contributing still to the society.
No. The non-Agnihotri. That's what I'm saying. Agnihotram is only. We have substitutes for Agnihotram now. That's why I just said it is a, through the ritual, talk about the ritual. See, in Vedic period, Veda has its own way of teaching. But what is taught, what is spirit behind the teaching, what is the vision behind the teaching is how one has to be dutiful, one has to be responsible, one has to know one's duties, know one's responsibilities, and in executing, now one's implementing, no, one executing one's duties also, and how one does, how much he knows the value of values, how much value has for values. Not simply just for sake of getting what I want, I don't do anything I want to do. No, I just, no, I manage.
So you must not take it literally, you know, the meaning of...
No, Agnihotram, that's what I said, that is why I talk so much today, purposely, the Karma Kanda, this is all for, Mr. Peter could not understand, what he said was, what is the connection between what you said and what is in the verse? He asked me this, now what is the connection? The verse only says how the improper performance of ritual Agnihotram destroys the punyam one has earned for 7 janmas means. For 7 more janmas, one will lose pinda and udakam means. We don't even understand what is 7 more janmas. I'll be born for 7 more janmas. In every janma I'll be born and I won't have water until means. So what? I don't know, because only Shastram tells that means. Through that, it conveys something else. Isn't it? So what if you lose also? I don't know what it is. You would be frightened of snake only if you know snake is a snake. Understand? You don't even know what is losing punyam, what is losing pindam, what is losing udakam for 7 more janmas, what is 7th janma, what is 2nd janma, what is next janma, I don't know anything. So you won't be frightened of anything. Isn't it? See, an unknown thing cannot cause any fear in you. That doesn't make any sense for us when we are so totally, and we do not know what is Vaidikam karma, first of all. What is kindling the fire, we do not know. Okay? People's country only know the word havan, not even homa. Understand? It's all highly, when havan means, it always takes me to Bollywood. Okay? That I don't know, Bollywood dress and Bollywood jewelry, Bollywood style, everything goes with Bollywood for me, really, in this country. People come and been sitting in jeans and throw twigs into the fire like this. Om Bhurbhuvah Swah, no, like this throw and they come away. Every temple is only havan I see here. That is what is havan, okay? At least I'm thankful at least somewhere they think of some, they come and do something. No, that's why people, when you read all these things, what do people waste their time and energy, no? Better go, do namaskaram, sing some bhajans and pray and come back. That's better. Say some slokas. And ask a proper pandit who knows, priest, be generous, give the pandit something, ask him to do some proper sankalpa if he knows. If he doesn't know, don't you do that. Why you waste money again? Okay, now. So you pray for yourself. You pray for yourself. Prayer is the best thing. Now, what I want to say here, because he asked me the connection, so we don't need to worry about the losing the palam of Agnihotram. We are not even performing. We will not need to worry about not gaining or losing the palam of Agnihotram. It is not relevant for us because we are not performers. But in this context, when Upanishad talks about it, why should Upanishad talk about this particular ritual in the Upanishad? Because it was meant for those people who were living in Vedic period. But now, how Upanishadic teaching is relevant for people who are non-Vaidikas? We are still Vaidikas, but we are not proper Vaidika. We are not ritualist people. We are not performing any homa or puja. We don't even know what it is. So how it is relevant? What should I, now how to, if it is not relevant, and why should we waste our time here? It is relevant. Why? Because through this teaching, what is the spirit behind this teaching? That is why I waste a long time in repeating first Karma Yoga, and not only Karma Yoga, I said how to recognize Bhagavan as universal law and order. Okay? The truth is the pure knowledge which backs up the law and order, which is imperishable, immortal, eternal reality. That reality is actually you, which is fullness also. Understand now? But you have to recognize that the whole jagat is manifestation, means the order also is manifest. Isn't it? And that order one has to really understand, because you have to live a comfortable life here, means definitely, at least one day or the other, you have to discover that absolute comfort. Isn't it? That is really, you are always, you want to be comfortable, seeking always comforts and comforts and comforts. And any amount of comforts you add to your life, still you continue to be uncomfortable. You don't seem to be comfortable, understand? Because you still lack some comforts. And you also have some discomforts. Isn't it? Therefore, to be comfortable totally, and real comfort is in staying at home, being home, understand, being home, being at home, being with yourself, being yourself is what? Being at home. Now, I like this one small thing, you know, what is swasthanam? Swasthanam means one's own place. Being with oneself is what? Your own place. What is the own place of the wave? H2O. Isn't it? So the wave, knowing its swarupam being H2O, is what? Being at home. Similarly, what is the swasthanam of the mind? Consciousness. Understand? The mind recognizing its own swarupam being consciousness, and not being able to lose sight of awareness, is what? Swasthanam. The one who remains in one's own place is the healthy place. Swasthaniyaha swastaha, healthy. Otherwise, you are unhappy, then you are sick. Understand? That's why in Tamil, Puranas depict, no? What they do, the personify reality, the consciousness, swasthana, as the Lord Shiva. No? This snake will be wandering all over. And suppose a snake, somewhere it is always, it knows the Garuda, the eagle will be flying above. If the snake, what it does, suppose it feels the danger, the Garuda immediately search for anthill to go and hide somewhere. Go and hide so that it won't be, you know, it won't be available for Garuda to see from distance also. Once Garuda, this eagle sees from above, the snake's life is gone. So it's always frightened. It will search for anthills, go and hide. It never talk, it never even make its presence known to Garuda. Such a frightened snake, somehow by some punyam becomes an ornament for necklace for Lord Shiva, and goes and sits here like a snake. Lord Shiva stands for reality. No, for all the beings, who is this? Who is the swasthanam? Lord, isn't it? Lord is the one's own place for all the beings. So the snake also goes and sits around the neck, and then its own place, okay? And there it wants to make Garuda know its presence. Look at this. And before it used to quietly run and hide in the ant hill. Now this snake calls Pannaga Bhushana Shiva. So it calls this Garuda eagle. Hey, hello Garuda, Mr. Garuda. How are you? Saukyama. Paramashivan kalathil irunda paambu ketadu. Garuda saukyama. Now, hey Garuda, how are you? The Garuda said, my God, look at this. And when you just seeing me, it will run. Now, you used to run to this anthills, frightened. No, you didn't want me to know that you were there somewhere. Now, you call my name and you ask me, you're asking me how I am, okay? How are you? And the Garuda says, oh, if you are wherever you have to be, then everything is fine. He says, yarum irukkum idathil irundu vittal ellam saukyame. If you are where you have to be, if in your own house, you are in your own house, you can ask somebody, no? You are on the road. Then you can ask, look at this, what a dare, no? How dare this snake talks like this. Garuda says, Garuda cannot come near now. No way, Shiva. He says, yeah, if you are where you have to be, in your own place, then everything is fine. What the Garuda replies, like that, he doesn't know what is at the most secure place, no? The security, and the real security, the absolute security, absolute protection, and the fearlessness, and the health, perfectly healthy, just where there is fullness, that is being with oneself, swastaha. Always mind is parastaha, not swastaha. Parasthaniha, swastaniha. Isn't it? Because being a parasthaniya, being extrovert is the nature of the mind. And that mind has to be with itself, learn to be being by oneself. And that is what, and that needs a big discipline. Whole life is lived to make the mind understand this. Isn't it? That is why Upanishad, what is the spirit behind the karma kanda? Hey, this is something which is choiceless and which has to be discovered. For this discovery, mind needs to, only in discovering this, you are swastaha. You are perfectly, absolutely healthy. A jnani is an absolutely healthy person. Until you become absolutely healthy, you have to discover this. You have to go on and, you know, dose of medicines. Understand? One has to be relatively healthy also. That is possible only by having Bhagavan's grace. Because what is the, what, how everything is operating here? In the scheme of things, how things are operated. Do you know that? Our activities are based on how, when you use any machine, you know how it operates. What happens in the washing machine? What happens with the wet grinder? What happens with the mixer, mixing, you know, any wet grinder, anything, any machine you operate, how it operates, you know. Similarly, for me to be comfortable in society, when you live my life, how it operates. There's a big order, universal law and order. How it operates. Yeah? The comfort is in being in harmony with order. But you don't know what do you mean by being in harmony with the order. That is surrender. Until being in harmony with the order is surrender. There is no surrender otherwise. Being in harmony with order, living a life in harmony with order, is surrendering one's will to Bhagavan. There, which implies you are being ethical and righteous. Isn't it? Being ethical and righteous. Here we understand the value of values. Because otherwise there is no way of mentally being, no? The disturbed, no, split mind. How can it know the truth? How can it be with itself? That is why do karma, do worship, do pray. Doesn't it? Do pray, do worship. How prayer as a karma is effective, how worship as a karma is effective, how it implies your being worshipful, implies your mind being subtle and alert. Isn't it? Sharp. And to recognize the subtle nature of the order and to live in tune with the order. Now, how even your day-to-day actions, your mundane or religious activity, lived, you know, done in conformity with dharma becomes, you know, it's a proper action. The proper action means you are in harmony with order. Improper means you are disturbing the order. You're not at all active means you're definitely, you are still not in tune with the order. So, other than being in harmony with the order, not being in tune with the order, or disturbing the order will result in your mental disturbance. The disturbed mind can never discover its swarupam. Therefore, the mind has to be free from disturbances. To be, innocent, disturbance, to recognize its being disturbance free. It's very, very important. That's why I'm teaching. I'm not just, I want to tell the relevance of Upanishad talking about these mantras. One mantra doesn't help you to just know all the karmas. And we don't need to feel guilty or, you know, unhappy about not being able to do rich Agnihotram karma. We don't need to worry about it. It's not for us to do Agnihotram. But even by knowing, we are not going to perform Agnihotram. It has to start at the age of 25, 26. We are all old now. So we don't need to worry about anything now. It's gone. This is what Upanishad expects us to learn from this verses. We don't need to worry. We see if this one more important than knowing Agnihotram. I want you to understand the relevance of Upanishad talking about the proper, improper performance of Agnihotram ritual for those who do not know anything about Agnihotram. What do we understand? That is more important.